الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran illustrates to the believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a very important ingredient for us to live our lives by. In fact, one of the main reasons why the generations before us were victorious and succeeded throughout many trials and calamities and oppression was because they had this ingredient embedded in their hearts and they lived their lives implementing this very advice that Allah Jalla wa'ala implores the believers to find and to look for in both the Qur'an and in the Sunnah. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. To Allah Jalla wa'ala belongs all izzah. To Allah Jalla wa'ala belongs izzah. To His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the believers. وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But it is the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, that do not know or do not understand about this izzah that belongs to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, man kana yuridu al-izzah, whoever wants izzah, falillahi al-izzatu jami'ah, then izzah belongs, all of it, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the scholars of Islam, when they break down this ingredient that Allah Jalla wa'ala implores us to find and to understand what is izzah, they say. As Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, as Raghib al-Asfahani also says, they say, innaha taduru hawla thalathata ma'ani. The izzah, it wanders around, it revolves around three important meanings. And for us as Muslims to find izzah, we must understand that izzah has three ingredients, three important meanings. And when these three important meanings are found, we can live our life with izzah. And what are these meanings? They say, rahimahumullah, al-azama, wal-mana'a, wal-hamiyya. It is the ability to find might, to find glory in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand that the Quran and Sunnah are from Allah, to be proud that this is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every detail, every intricate detail is glorious, revealed to us from above the heavens by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal mana'ah, to prevent and prohibit yourself, to lower yourselves in worshipping things besides Allah, to prohibit yourselves in committing sin, associating partners, or even disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-hamiyya, to understand the ones that do this are granted protection by Allah. The ones that do this are granted the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the poet used to say, اجعل لربك كل عزك يستقر ويثبت فإذا اعتزت بمن يموت فإن عزك ميت. Know that if you link your izzah, your glory and your might to Allah Jalla wa'ala, يستقر ويثبت, it will be everlasting, it will be strong and firm. But if you attach your might or your glory to things that will die, you will find your glory will also die. If you look to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the message that he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came with and he nurtured his sahaba with, and he taught in the Institute of Izzah, the Institute of Prophethood. We find that not only did he live a life of this glory, understanding glory from Allah, prohibiting any type of lowering oneself with sin, and understanding protection, lives of Allah, not only did he live this life, but he taught his sahaba, and they lived this life as well. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was offered by his uncle Abu Talib at the early stage of his call, to end his call, to change his call, to end the call altogether, and he offered him all of the wonders of this world, he offered him the women of this world, he offered him a high position and status, he offered him all of the wealth that he could possibly find. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded by saying, if you were to offer me the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I will never end this call. I will never stop calling towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having glory, having honor, having a permissible form of pride in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understanding the protection lies with the deen of Allah jalla wa ala. When Abu Jahl, the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prostrating in front of the Kaaba, and he vowed to press his head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the sand to try to suffocate him in that regard. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not fear him, not even the least. And he said to the companions after Abu Bakr asked him, why did he stop when he was making his way towards you? What was it that frightened him? What was it that made him retreat? And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had he were to stop, had he were to continue moving, the malaika would have descended and would have ripped out his bones one by one. Honor he had sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making tawaf around the Kaaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the enemy of Allah jalla wa ala, they came and they suffocated him until he couldn't breathe. Some of the sahaba were asked, what did you see that caused him the most severe level of pain? And they said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was suffocated in this manner, they threw a cloak around his neck and they were suffocating him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a hadith reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this time of weakness, in the early stages of Mecca, he confronted the Quraysh. And he said to them, Ya ma'shar Quraysh, ji'tukum bil-dhabh. Oh you, nation of Quraysh, I have come to you and I'm going to slaughter you all. Explicitly towards these six individuals that conspired to suffocate him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had izzah. He had honor, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had the glory of Islam. And he taught us this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Uhud, when Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, when he was a disbeliever from the leaders of the enemies of Allah, and he called towards the Mount Uhud as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions retreated, and he began glorifying the idols that they used to worship, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the believers to respond, to tell Abu Sufyan, to tell the enemies of Allah, that Allah is a'la wa ajal, wallahu maulana wa la maula lakum, that Allah is greater, Allah is more honorable, He is our protector, and He is not your protector. And to tell them that our dead are in paradise, and your dead are in the hellfire, he had honor and glory in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anh, being raised in this madras of Izzah, radiallahu anh, when he went to collect the keys to liberate Palestine, and Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah radiallahu an said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, shouldn't it be you who is riding the beast as we are about to enter into Palestine? Shouldn't you find a better, more cleaner, more beautiful garments? And he said to them in anger, نحن قوم أعزنا الله بالإسلام فمهما نطلب العز بغير ما أذن الله به فأذلنا الله. We are a nation that Allah Jalla Wala gave us honor and gave us glory through Islam. The moment we seek glory, the moment we seek honor in any other way other than Allah, He subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy us. He subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy us. And this is how the Sahaba were raised. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Sahaba and asked them, who of you wants to recite in front of the kuffar? But know that the enemies of Allah jalla wa ala, we're going to beat them, we're going to humiliate them, we're going to strike them. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, a Sahabi that was known to be very small and skinny, he put himself forward and he began reciting in front of the enemies of Allah, and he returned back bruised and beaten, and he returned back covered in blood. It was said to him, we knew you shouldn't go because you don't have a tribe or a group of people to defend you. He said to them, wallahi, I'll return back tomorrow to recite to them once more. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, rahimahullah, radiyallahu an, when he embraced Islam at the outskirts of Mecca, he began saying loudly, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, until the scholars of Sirah, they mention, he was covered absolutely in red blood, to the extent that if you were to place him in front of a red mountain, he would be camouflaged. But he kept on saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. He then said to his companions, by Allah, he said, they can burn every single believer. You'd find other believers standing up over the believers that have been burnt. They can destroy every single minaret. But what they cannot destroy is the sounds of our voices making tahleel, saying La ilaha illallah. He then said, we have been raised up, entered into the light of Islam. By Allah, you'd find us riding on the backs of horses, conquering the world. This is the Sahaba. This is the level of izzah, of might and power of the Sahaba. They understood that with Islam they are given glory. They understood with Islam they are given protection. They understood with Islam they're able to conquer the earth. Hence, the stories of izzah are many in their number. Look to Rabi ibn Amir radiyallahu an, when he was sent by Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu an to speak to the leader of the Persians just before the battle of the Qadisiyah. And he went into Rustum, the leader of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rabi ibn Amir was known to be a very poor companion. He didn't earn or own much in this world. His horse was extremely short-legged horse. He didn't even have a sheath to cover his sword, so his sword was covered in some material, some clothing. As he entered upon the palace of the king, who laid out carpets and cushions and pearls in order to accommodate and host Rabi ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu. Rabi ibn Amir, he walked over the carpets with his horse and then tied his horse to some cushions. Then he sat in front of Rustum. But he sat on the floor. Rustum said to him, we've given you a chair. We've given you an honorable, beautified chair with pearls and gold. He said in response, saying, we, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not sit on a chair like this. So he sat on the floor. And the king asked him, Rustum, he asked him, what do you want? Why have you come here? And he said, of izzah, nahnu qawmun. ابتعثنا الله لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد. We are a people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to bring servants out of the worship of servants and into the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are a people that Allah jalla wa ala has sent to take people out of worshipping creatures, worshipping the creation, into worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then said, وَمِنْ جَوْلِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and from the injustice of other religions to the justice of Islam. وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, and from the restrictions of this world to the ability to feel free in this world and the Akhirah. Rustum said to him, what are you asking for? And Rabi ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu responds, and he says, we offer you three things. Either embrace Islam, either give and pay the jizya, whoever faced the sword of the Sahaba of Allah Jalla wa'ala. He said to him, do you speak like this to me? And he repeated the same request, either embrace Islam or pay the jizya or face the swords of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rustum said to him, allow me some time to think and consult the leaders and the military generals. Rabi ibn Amir says to him, we'll give you 1 or 2 days. Rustum laughs, 1 or 2 days? Give us a month, or give us a week, give us more than this. And he responds, Rabi ibn Amir of Izzah, saying, our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that you are given 3 days to contemplate. And after the third day, on the fourth, we'll come with our swords to fight you. This is the Izzah of the deen of Allah Jalla wa'ala. Mu'tasim, the leader of the Muslims, Mu'tasim, the leader of the Muslims, once was told that a female prisoner of war, a Muslim woman, was captive in the prisons of the enemies of Allah Jalla wa'ala. And every night she would call out, saying, Ya Allah, free me, free me. Ya Allah, send Mu'tasim, send him with his army. When he heard about this, he gathered an army together to annihilate and destroy every rank of the disbelievers. Until he reached the woman and he said to her, Labbaik ya ukhti, I've come to you, oh my sister, because I know that on the day of judgment, had I not were to come to you, you'd have complained about my situation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not fearing anybody, not fearing any person or any army. This is the izzah of al-Islam. Oh brothers or sisters in Islam, this ingredient of izzah, this ingredient of might and honor in the deen of Allah Jalla wa'ala, in the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, this ingredient of protecting ourselves from sinning, this ingredient of understanding that protection and honor and victory lies in Allah Jalla wa'ala. And the path of Allah Jalla wa'ala is something that we have lost, or something that is lacking in our iman. And this is why the scholars of Islam, they used to say, every time your iman decreases, your izzah decreases. Every time you sin, you take away from your izzah. But every time you worship Allah, and you come close to Allah, and you learn about the deen of Allah, your izzah of Allah Jalla wa'ala and the deen increases. Hence the scholars of the past, they used to say, we used to teach our children the ghazawat, the battles of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sahaba, so that we can increase their honor and their glory for Islam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إن الله غفور رحيم.